Things just got sorta real.
Hello, and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for October 28th, 2019. I'm Janine Fadich, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
That's me!
So, we're talking about impeachment still.
I suspect that's the problem. We have like a ballooning deficit. We have, you know, a bunch of other issues with, you know, healthcare for nobody, and we need to address those issues, and we're not addressing any of them because we're going to be talking about
impeachment. But you can't ignore the things that
I have actually here's the thing. I wanted to talk about this, and then we can dive into the the comments. Doing a comic strip like Prickly City, you know, a lot of times I tend to fall into, and I'm not proud of this, but I fall into what I call the didactic strips, which is just the characters talking and talking at to each other or talking at the reader. And I don't find that terribly inspiring or all that interesting, frankly. I always felt the strip worked better when I either threw them into a metaphorical or a real circumstance. And that's what I've done now, is I've sent Winslow. He's now joined the impeachment investigation in Washington. And so Carmen has kind of fallen by the wayside. It's mostly Winslow dealing with this stuff. And I'm actually pretty happy with how it's going so far. I imagine people are going to get, you know, bored with it like they have, like Honey Bunny. You got bored with Honey Bunny.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. I liked her.
I knew you did. And some people did like her.
Okay, a lot of people did. This is a 50-50. It was more than 50-50.
I'm sure it was.
Okay.
I don't think we've done an official poll or anything, though.
So anyway, just to kind of give you some insight into how the strip is produced and what I think of the strip, that's where we're going. That's where we're at. And apparently people commented a lot.
Yes. So,
Yeah?
Street Beater says, Trump is loving this. His political reality show is number one in the TV market share, even better than The Apprentice.
That's great. It's true. Probably better numbers. Yep.
Also, you mentioned that things are going to get weird and weirder.
Oh, yeah.
And Kent Marks 36 said, sad that weird is the word Republicans have used to describe the Democrats' efforts to uphold the Constitution and the rule of law for all Americans.
Okay, who said that?
Kent Marks 36.
Okay, Kent Marks, I'm going to just stop you there for a moment and say that this has nothing to do with the Constitution or the rule of law or them caring about, any politician caring about that in the least. It's a political move done by a political party. I'm going to take a moment here and say I'm disgusted by this for this simple reason, that we have an election coming up. In 1 year, in a month, we have an election coming up. And the fact that we can't wait for that, the Democrats can't wait for that, that they want to use impeachment to as a bludgeon for this election, I think it's a massive mistake. And I've mentioned this in other podcasts. It diminishes the importance and the gravitas of impeachment and why it's in the Constitution and why the Founding Fathers put it there. So for me, it's like, some people of good faith feel they have to do this? I suspect they do. But for the most part, impeachment is a political act, and it's becoming more political. And when they do this, it's going to become, when there is a Republican House and a Democratic president, guess what's going to happen? This is going to become normal. And that kills me, because it hurts governance. It diminishes the government and the idea of governing, and it just makes the whole thing a fiasco. And it's sad.
Well, that leads into what David wrote in regards to last podcast. He says, I'm sorry, Scott. It seems to me you have no clue what's going on. Granted, it's a week later and a lot has happened since then. So nothing Trump can do is a high crime or misdemeanor? So just wait another year and vote him out? First, if he's convicted, Hillary doesn't get the job. Pence does. Not exactly overturning an election. Second, do you realize how much damage he can do in a whole year? Look at how quickly Syria went bad. The next day. That's a record for a bad decision having awful consequences. And what if there's a Supreme Court vacancy? Do you think Moscow Mitch will invoke the Biden room? No, he'll push through another Trump flunky to a lifetime appointment. What if he does get even more Russian help since he's worked hard to make it happen and doesn't lose the election? Will you just say, don't vote for him next time? Nancy Pelosi has resisted this until she was sure there was support for it in both the House and the country. Those House members elected from, quote-unquote, Trump districts They aren't any longer, or they wouldn't have elected Democrats so quickly. I repeat, is there anything he can do so you wouldn't say, just let it go? Is this how you raised your kids? Do whatever you want. We don't want to politicize your punishment. Thanks for letting me rant. I just needed to lower my blood pressure.
Okay, let me address those issues. And, you know, those are valid points. And I have this discussion with my friends who are adamantly in favor of impeachment. And I've been, okay, totally legitimate points. My point remains that there's an election in a year, and that's how you overturn and get this guy the hell out of office. Listen, I'm no friend of this president. I'm no fan. I am apparently human scum, according
you
to
are.
This president.
I was
yes.
going to mention that.
Yeah, thank you. In this context or just in general?
Oh, because somebody mentioned it. Why did I find one of these?
Okay, she's looking through the comments, so I'll just ramble on a little bit. Yeah, I'm a never Trump Republican. I remain one. And it's interesting, looking at the political landscape right now, if you look at how things stand, they're pretty good. You know, the economy's growing, not at a white-hot pace, but at a good pace. Incomes are finally going up. We're at peace, relatively. And so, you know, it's on the surface, you think this guy should be getting 65, 70% approval ratings. He doesn't because he's a scoundrel, because he's not good people. And I don't like or respect him. So to imply that otherwise is ridiculous. My point is that impeachment, yeah. Impeachment is important. Impeachment is not necessarily a legal process, but it needs to be couched in that. And so what we have now, what we're finding out now with, and you know, now we're finding that there's also a shadow government, which is also deeply disturbing. Here's how it's going to come down if you're looking at it from this perspective today. The House is going to vote for impeachment, articles of impeachment, and send it to the Senate. Mitch McConnell said, well, if it comes here, we're going to have to try it. Well, I don't believe a thing that comes out of that turtle-faced guy's mouth. So, but let's assume for a moment they have a trial. I'm doing air quotes here, which are always great for podcasts. And the Senate will then, because they're Republicans and many of them are Trumpites, somehow that happened. I don't know how. And they're going to vote to not convict, and so he'll stay in office. He'll then be able to run on, you know, this was total exoneration. You know, that was the worst Trump imitation ever. But that's what that was, in case you were wondering.
Oh, thanks for explaining.
No, he's going to march around saying this is total exoneration, that there was just a witch hunt, and he will win re-election. I think this is high.
God, I hope not. You think there's that many people who buy it?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they elected him, right?
Okay. Yeah. So, what did you find?
Oh, yeah. P. Shearer said on October 23rd, the Donald called Never Trump Republicans human slime.
Slime, okay.
I'm a Never Trump Republican, ergo, to which Bruce 1253 responded, I'm afraid you are also an endangered species. After Trump, the Republican Party will have no credibility as they sold all of the principles for nothing. Same with the Christian right. There will eventually be another party that believes in personal responsibility, limited government, fiscal restraint, duty, honor, country, but it will not be the Republicans.
No, I'm afraid that's true. I think that here's the thing that's wrong with not just the Republican Party, not just politics today, but just America in general, is no one thinks, there are no statesmen. What's a statesman? Part of being a statesman is thinking for the future, not just this generation, but the next generation. The politicians today and the Republicans today don't give two craps about anything other than the next election cycle. So, you know, their district supports Trump. And frankly, any elected official, any congressman or senator who's had temerity to come out against the president has had the president come to their district and frankly do gin up the interest in a primary to get the, you know, the Fruit Loops or the nut bags or whatever you want to call them to get the nomination and hence get elected from those districts. These guys want to keep their jobs. And I understand that. I mean, I understand politics. I'm not, you know, anything but a neophyte on this stuff. But there has to come a point where you have principle. And who wrote that note? I'm sorry.
Bruce 1253.
Thank you for that, by the way. And I'm with you. I mean, look at this. We're looking at an additional $1 trillion added to the national debt. Now, why do we care? It seems like the unsexiest, and it is. No one cares. In fact, my kids make fun of cartoons where they have like some beast and it's labeled debt. I mean, they always joke about it and they're right because, but here's what happens. Do you realize almost, I think it's, we're coming up to 12 to 15% of our national budgets paid to service our national debt? That's just going to go up. And that's money that could go towards schools or military or whatever other projects you think are important. So that's why national debt and fiscal responsibility are important. And this administration and these Republicans have no belief in this because they believe in the next election. That's it. And so that's why, as someone who grew up a Republican, who was proudly a Republican, ran as a Republican once in a local election, came in ninth out of nine candidates, but we'll skip past that. My point is that the virtues and the ideals that made me a Republican have been totally trashed by this current crop of Trumpites. And if he gets reelected, then the Republican Party is doomed for the future, because right now the people who vote for him are, you know, these old folks, and you know, they're going to, you know, die. And so who's going to vote for him? I don't think the Democrats are doing themselves any favors, but we're going to see. Their primary process is still going going forward. They have fascinating. I think Mayor Pete Buttigieg is still a fascinating candidate. But well, and we can talk on another podcast about can a gay candidate win a national election. But we'll talk about that later. That's where we probably rambled on more. Do we have any more comments you want?
I think that's good for now.
Okay. Anything else I should bring up? Or
I can't think of anything. That can't wait till next time.
I'm dying to know, if you're listening to this podcast, do me a favor. Email us at pricklycity@gmail.com. If you were congressman or congresswoman so-and-so, how would you vote on impeachment, knowing what you know today? How would you vote on just forming the impeachment committee? Would you do it? I have, I didn't address this. I'll address it very quickly. I'm having a serious problem with the secrecy right now. I don't trust, as you know, I don't trust government. I don't trust, and I think, you know, the best disinfectant for government has always been sunlight and transparency.
I didn't write it down because it's actually for next week.
Or- okay.
But someone mentioned that's how you explore the stuff first.
I understand that, but I don't think that this, given the explosive nature of this, and okay, let me also say the the pack of idiot Republicans. First off, I always forget his name. The congressman who doesn't seem to ever wear a coat. Have you seen him? He looks very snarly. He's very much an attack dog. He's always in committee. He's never wearing his coat. And I'm sorry, I think that gentleman wears his coat. But anyway, they marched into the committee hearings because they weren't invited. And when it turns out that almost half of them were and had entree, but, you know, two of them were Republicans from Alabama who I know, and one of whom is not very smart, and one of whom is and should be ashamed of himself. But, oh well, that's for another podcast. But it does. It still disturbs me. I don't believe in government secrecy of any kind, period. I just don't, because it never turns out well, ever. So, there we go. So, thank you, Janine.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Brian Altimer, our wonderful producer there at WGN and WGN Plus. And thank you to WGN and WGN Plus for posting this thing. If you want to keep up with the antics of Carmen and Winslow, you're welcome to by going to gocomics.com/pricklycity. That's gocomics.com/pricklycity. If you're not registered already, please do so. It's free. They don't harass you with a bunch of emails, so it's really great to get it. And if you leave a comment, maybe we'll read it here on the podcast, which would be awesome. If you want to contact us directly, as I mentioned earlier, email us at pricklycity@gmail.com. That's pricklycity@gmail.com. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers.